Thank you for joining me this morning on 4th of July weekend. I'm just so glad that I'm able to come into your house this morning on the Lord's Day. I am just so blessed to be able to minister and to just encourage the body of Christ to continue to do the work of the Lord. Just a friendly reminder, we'll be right back here next Sunday, right here live at New Beginnings with live stream. All ministries are back in order. We're grateful for that. Freedom. Wow, that's what this weekend is about as we celebrate and in memory of why we are free. We live in a free country. We don't want nobody to take that from us. We want the liberty. We want the opportunity to continue to worship the God that created the heavens and the earth. I want to just say a big thank you to you for taking care of God's work here at New Beginnings with your prayers, with your time, and also with your finances. We are right smack in the middle of the summer. Things have the tendency of dropping a little, but thank God for you that you know that through the good, the bad, and the difference, we take care of the house of God, and we say amen and amen to that. Well, you know, one of the things that I believe is happening is that God is taking us back to some basic things that are crucial in His sight. Let me ask you a question. And maybe at the end of the service, I want to ask it again, and hopefully we all have an answer. And that is, what is God's vision? What is God's vision? How can that vision become ours? Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you for this beautiful day you have made, the Lord's Day, first day of the week. We come together and we celebrate and we worship and we present the Word of God. Thank you, God, for every giver that takes care of your work right here at New Beginnings through prayer, through their strength, and through their stewardship. Thank you, God, for this blessed day as we share the Word of God wherever they may be today. Either they're listening on audio or they are seeing us on Facebook. God bless them in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen to that. Now, what is God's vision? As your pastor, shepherding God's people, leading them to discipleship, leading them to the Word of God, leading them to know more about Jesus, how crucial it is to stay connected, how crucial it is to stay focused, making sure our eyes are on Christ. Now, I believe that the outline about who we are in Christ and who we are without Christ, and how do we walk in Christ, and how do we die daily to ourselves? See, dying daily to ourselves puts us in a position to walk in the Spirit, to talk in the Spirit, to be comforted by the Spirit. Everything is Spirit-oriented. Everything is based on how we perceive the things of God in the spirit realm. Now, we get to see it in the religious realm or in the flesh, even in demonic activities. That's another message. But the human personality, that's why I like to start off this morning, making sure we are following some order. I call it guideline. I call it where there's a structure. And then we get to begin to ask God to fill in the empty blanks or the empty spaces that we need to do that. As we already have addressed, that human personality is a spirit, soul, and body. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion. The body is the temple. The spirit was given to us when we gave our life to Jesus. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, what an opportunity, because Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus will bring that restoration. Say it with me, restoration. God is in the business of restoration. So what this outline is doing is helping us understand that we get to be restored in all things and connect with God's vision so that it can become our vision, because that is what it means to do the will of God. What is God's vision? And hopefully, at the end of this word, we'll be able to have a good insight what that is so that we can continue to grow in the things of God, help people find Jesus, pray for people for healing, begin to see restoration, because the enemy, he is at work. The flesh is at work. And what is going on, I think, is they're being confused or being deceived that they may think they're in the things of God, but things are falling apart. So as I go through quickly with the outline so that I can begin to give the body of Christ some meat concerning this subject, because the quicker we get revelation from God about how to die daily to self, move ourselves away, Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us. I have these decisions that I have to make. Can you help me make them? Because when God is involved, we know that all things, amen, works out for the good to those that love God. Those who die daily, they pick up their cross and they follow Jesus. Are we following the Lord Jesus Christ? That would be my prayer for me and also for the body of Christ all over the world. So the outline is crucial. The human personality and the Holy Spirit. The human personality is spirit, soul, and body. As the scripture says, we were created in the image and likeness, and that every human being has what we call an ego. An ego is self gets in the way. Our paradigm of the world gets in the way. And so that outline is important. The other part that is important is what we call the implication of sin, that we've all come short of God. And because of the fall, this is why Genesis 1 through 20 speaks volume, speaks sovereign, it speaks power, it speaks history, it speaks dispensation, it speaks order. It tells us the foundation of God and the world and his principles and his word, okay? There it tells us that Adam fell, they were separated from God, and that's where the spirit died. So man has been operating or functioning or dealing or expressing only through the soul and the body. It can only go so far. The entire Old Testament tells us that everything was temporary. With Jesus, it's eternal. It's forever. And that is why we're grateful that God has forgiven us of all of our sins, and he's renewed our spirit. That outline will continue to be addressed. So every one of us have moved from rebellion, that rebellion state. where we could not and cannot get close to God without grace, mercy, the love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why I love this weekend, because it's about freedom. Let no one take your freedom away, the freedom to worship, the freedom to gather, the freedom to go where we want to go, the freedom to do whatever God has called us to do. We don't want anyone taking that away from us. This is why we pray for America. We pray for the President of the United States. Wrong or indifference or correct, it does not matter. We lift the president, those around him. We lift up America, because America today is free, but we don't know about tomorrow. But today we get to celebrate that. So that outline is important, because we get to understand we've come short with our intellect. We've come short with our education. We have come short with the philosophy. And thank God that we get to have a relationship where revelation becomes real in our lives. So that outline is important that we continue to address. The function. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we began to see the big picture, that big picture that helps us function in the spirit, soul, and body. Quickly, let me give you this outline. The spirit, it communicates directly to God. The soul and the body cannot do that. If you read your Bible, Ephesians 2, Ephesians 4, Colossians chapter 3, it tells you that apart from Jesus, no man, because that's why the Bible says that every one of us knows that the Bible clearly says that Jesus is the truth and the life and the way. And we can say glory to God for that. So the Spirit communicates directly with God. We'll again emphasize more, get a little bit more closer to that. But the soul is what makes the decision. You and I decided, either by the presence or the conviction of God, or that our lives fell apart and we needed something more, something better than what the world was giving us. And thank God, Jesus gave us freedom. Now our goal is to connect with what is God's vision. Because I believe that we would love to connect with that, with God. Let it become ours. And we begin to do the will of God. Are we in the will of God? Are you in the will of God? Is the body of Christ in the will of God? What do we need to do to get there? I believe that this topic, this message, this teaching, this presentation will continue to help us understand that our relationship with God must be pure, must be real, it must be authentic, it must be powerful, it must come with authority that comes from the Word and the Spirit of God. So the spirit, the soul, again, the distinguishing or distinguish the difference between the soul from the spirit. This is the part that nobody can teach. I don't care what education you have. I don't care what psychology or doctor or anyone in that format. The Word of God has the ultimate word, revelation, power, and authority. Okay? So the reason I am sharing this with the body of Christ today is because what is God's vision? Is God waiting for us? Or are we waiting for God? How is it that you and I can become proactive in the middle of the summer, in the middle of our desert, in the middle of our trials, in the middle of our tribulations, in the middle of things that we have no control? How can we practice acceptance? And how can we practice powerlessness? And how can we practice surrender? How can we practice being submitted to the things of God? I believe that the moment that you and I know the difference between how the soul functions and how the spirit functions, it becomes more obvious, more powerful, because we're able to connect and say, I need to take the step of faith. I need to surrender. I need to submit. I need to be able to say that, you know what, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, listen to the outline. I believe that once we get the outline, we can come back and put in all the blanks that need to be filled so that way we can get a revelation, because you can leave knowing, ah, I got it. Freedom, not only in the natural, is important, but freedom in the supernatural is also important. So the Spirit is a lot like the Holy Spirit, your spirit, which was quickened. All you got to do is read Ephesians chapter 2, and it'll clarify how we were once dead. Now we are alive. Our eyes have been opened. Wow, what an amazing. Now you don't just see with blinders. You see a supernatural picture. You see a supernatural world. You get this aura that comes from the Lord, and you say, wow, God, your peace is real, and your grace is real, and your strength is real. So the Spirit in the translation to the English is breath and wind. If you read John chapter 3, that the Spirit of God is like the wind. Just what God did in the beginning with Adam, He again breathed into them and they became a living being. And so the soul is the natural, the sensual, the worldly minded. And then the word that I added, it's important where we become soulish. We are in the brink of falling apart. We are in the brink of crashing if we think by being soulish, we're being spiritual. So the soul, again, is how things are natural, sensual, worldly minded. And again, we made up that word soulish. And then you got the body, okay? So the outline is going to be important that we follow. So the decline from earthly to soulish and demonic. All you got to do is read James, James chapter 3. It talks about the earthly, it talks about the soulish, and it talks about the demonic, okay? The demonic has access through the soulish, the world, but when you are spiritually minded and you have the word and you have the Spirit and you have the blood of Jesus and you have the promises of God and you got His inheritance and you got His power and you have His authority and you're walking in the Spirit and you got a prayer life. And that is what needs to improve in our entire life. Nothing else and nothing more. Out of our prayer life, things are birthed. So my question to you, has your prayer life improved or gotten better? And how do we do that? You just find a place and a time with you in the Lord. If it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it's your quiet time. It's your alone time with the Lord. It is where you begin to develop a healthy relationship with God. So really what it all comes down to is restoring the awe of God, the presence of God, the authority, the conviction of God. Wow, God, you are good, and you are good all the time. You know, I know the world may be falling apart and things are don't look good here or there, but you keep increasing and you keep getting better and you keep getting more powerful and your blessings become more real. So restoring, you're going to hear a lot about being restored behind this pulpit, because God is in the business of restoring. And so that's what it means to be walking in the Spirit. God is restoring all things. You just read Acts chapter 3, and it tells you very clearly that everything was prophesied in the Old Testament for that time would happen in Acts chapter 2, where the activity, the exercise of the Holy Spirit became more obvious in the body of Christ. But I really believe there's a piece that's missing, and hoping to this morning and the rest of the summer, I can encourage you how to avoid Satan's traps. Now, someone asked me the other day, how do I know that I'm being manipulated? And I said, I think there's three indicators that possibly you may be manipulated. When somebody apologizes, but nothing changes, there's a possibility you may be manipulated. Second, when they do something wrong and make you feel bad, possibly you may be manipulated. And third is the guilt for exposing the truth. Truth is what sets people free. So that's the outline. And I believe that the more we emphasize and the more we connect and the more we direct, we'll understand that we all have battles, but are we fighting our battles correctly? And so you fight all your battles on your knees. And that is where your relationship, and that is where you are asking God, God, are you waiting on me? Are you waiting on me, or am I waiting on you? What is your vision, God? Because whatever your vision is, I want that to be my vision. We don't want no other vision, and we don't want no other will. We don't want no other power but the vision and the will and the power of God by what's already in the Word of God. And you've heard me say it over and over. Some of you have gotten, some of you are like, just kind of go over your head. We are going to be attacked because of what we stand for. And what we stand for is freedom. We live in a country that is free today. No guarantee tomorrow. I'm not liking the direction that this country may be going in at times. And I believe that the best voice and the most powerful voice that is available today is the voice of the Christians, the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, because your power and your authority comes from heaven. So, bottom line, if I may use that word this morning, you want a powerful prayer life? You want to move mountains in your life? I want to encourage you to understand what the scriptures are saying. I spend 20 minutes making sure we understand the outline, and I'll come back again, and I'll come back again to make sure, do we understand that we must have a prayer life that is powerful, and when we have a prayer life, we win every time. Are you ready to win? Are you ready to overcome? Are you ready to stand on the Word? Are you ready for some of your family members to come to know Jesus? They've been running for a long time. It's time for them to quit running. There are those Christians that have backslidden. Are you ready for those Christians to get on fire again for the things of God? I am. Jesus is. That's why there is an excitement in my soul. There is a peace, even though we may be going through trials or tribulations or difficulties or understandings that we don't understand, those kind of inputs and insight, but we do know one thing. God's on the throne, and prayer still changes things. So, human personality and the Holy Spirit. Most of us would agree that what the scripture says, that God chose to make man in his own image and likeness. That's what Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 1 through 20, chapter 20. Read it every day. It gives you 2,000 years of history. It gives you 2,000 years of foundation, because what God did in Genesis 1 to 20, He is still doing it the same way. He's doing it through a Savior. And the Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing will change. Even though in the last days, many will come in the name of Christ. But because we know the real Jesus and we know the real Bible, we know what is going around, what's going on around us. So again, image, likeness. Again, image is the outward appearance. Sometimes man's outward appearance mirrors the outward appearance of God. Likeness refers to the eternal, the structure of the triune God. Yes, you heard me say it, that we do believe in the Trinity, let Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, just like man, body, soul, and spirit. Again, the eternal structure. This is a good teaching right now, because as I close in a few moments, you will see how powerful this teaching is, because we learn to put on, put off. We learn to put off the old man and put on the new man. We get to operate with that new nature, that likeness and the image of God, where our relationship with God is real and powerful through the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is good teaching. Here's the teaching. The eternal structure of human personality is traceable to God's creation of man. So the human spirit proceeded from God's breath. That's what Genesis 1 says, 2 and 3. He breathed into Adam and produced a spirit with him, according to Genesis 1, 27. So the Hebrew and the Greek translated into English are the same. So spirit and breath. So when we give our life to Jesus, the scripture says, we come alive. We were dead in trespasses. Now we are alive. Now our eyes are open. Our hearts are open. Our minds are open to the things of God. We're no longer lost. We have direction. We have guidance. We have a place to go to worship here in America. So that spirit and breath are the same. So the body was the clay, which again infused with divine life to become Adam. And from there, generation to generations, thousands and thousands of years, until 2,000 years ago, which again, 8,000 years of prophecy, that the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One, who would save the world. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's what this is about. How to live here on this earth, and how to make sure we have eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, proceeding from the union of the spirit and body and the soul, again, it's one of the most difficult things to explain, but I'm doing my best, because many people have different approaches, okay, where you can improve yourself. And you should improve yourself. You should exercise, and you should eat right, and you should take care of yourself. But we're speaking about not just the natural, but we're talking about making sure you're healthy in the spirit realm. It is the unique ego of each individual that, again, is part to determine. This is where we hear a lot from people, I will, and I won't, and I want. So when you see that will and emotion and the intellect, the soul produces three corresponding types. I want, I think, I feel. So psychology says if you change the way you think, you're going to change the way you feel, and you're going to change the way you behave. That is part correct. But the Bible says faith cometh by hearing the word of God. It is what the word says that changes our minds and our heart and our emotions and our feelings. So the question still stands. What is God's vision? What is God's vision? Is God waiting for you, or are we waiting for God? My prayer is that God will show you what his vision is. And when he shows you your vision, you will be able to embrace that as we continue to express the word of God in Jesus' precious name. Listen, thank you. Have a blessed 4th of July weekend. Eat good, be with the family, enjoy the weekend. We'll be back Sunday, 10 o'clock, live stream here at New Beginnings, all activities. But again, without, you know, repeating myself over and over and over, thank you for taking care of this ministry through your hard work, your prayers, and your giving. Continue to do that, and we'll continue to meet like this and be blessed. I want to say a prayer for you. Father God, I thank you today for all the wonderful people that tuned in on this day, on this recorded message, praying that it is from you, knowing that to explain your word has to be done by the Spirit. And my prayer is that we will be led by your Spirit, and our prayer life will be resurrected. You'll transform us and change us forever. I pray for those who are traveling, Almighty God, bring them back safely, back to their homes, back to their family, back to their jobs. I pray for those that are struggling with their faith, teach them how to encourage themselves in the Lord. I pray for those who've lost loved ones, Lord God, bring comfort and peace to them in the name of Jesus. Almighty God, I pray for all those who are using our prayer chain. That prayer chain will just continue to transform and change people's lives. Almighty God, we give you all the praise and all the glory, and all of God's people said amen and amen. I'll see you Wednesday. Be blessed. See you soon. Amen.